Hour one, Mark Anthony, JD Psychic Explorer, guided us through the hidden corridors of prophecy, where time bends and messages from spirit weave themselves into our lives. Now we're going to go further. How can you tell if a prophecy is real or a dangerous misinterpretation? Can we train ourselves to understand messages sooner before it's too late? And what does quantum physics have to say about spirits glimpsing the future? The answers lie ahead right here on the Paranormal 360. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Mark Anthony. Mark, let's talk about that. People have reached out to me for 20 years, many of them broken because they saw what happened before it happened on 9/11. They saw tragedies of shootings at schools. They saw things that unfurled in tragic and blood ways, but they couldn't do anything about it. They were left in a position to just be a witness to history, not just once in the premonition, but twice as it actually unfolded before the eyes of the world. Why be given the gift of something like a prophecy if there's nothing you can do to prevent it?
That's a very, very deep and difficult question. And from personal experience with myself and with my mother, just because we can see something doesn't mean we can change it. And I was probably about 9 years old, and my brother is 6 years older than me, so he's a teenager. And he just got off the phone, and three of his friends were coming over. And my mother had this terrible feeling. My mom was an amazingly gifted psychic, and this terrible feeling in the pit of her stomach that something horrible is going to happen to my brother. And she didn't want him going with these boys. And a neighbor girl, Patty, showed up, and my mom said, "Earl, go with Patty." And she gave them $20. Okay. And she goes, "Patty, go take Earl, go get some ice cream. Just take him away." And Earl's like, "Okay, he'll go, hang out with Patty." I doubt they spent it on ice cream, but at any rate, they left. Within 10 minutes, this, I remember it was a big like Buick, came zooming up into our driveway, and these three guys were in it. And they said, "Oh, is Earl here?" And my mother and I was standing next door, and it started raining. I remember it was like starting to rain. It was a hot, tropical Florida summer day. And she said, "Oh, well, he left, and you boys can catch up with him tomorrow." And I remember she said, "Please be careful. Please, please. Oh, yeah, we will." And they zoomed off. 20 minutes later, Dave, they were going 90 miles an hour, and the car hit a telephone pole, and all three boys were killed on impact. And living in a small beachside community that spread like wildfire throughout the town. And I remember my mother crying, and my dad, she went into her bedroom. My dad went in there with her, and she was crying. She was, "Why couldn't I have done something? Why couldn't I have stopped it?" My dad also had these abilities. He was a Navy SEAL, and at this time he was an aerospace engineer. And I remember he said to her, he goes, "Jeannie, just because we can see something doesn't mean we can change it." But she changed it for my brother. The intervening cause of a neighbor girl coming over. So the question is, was he supposed to be in that car or not? Was my mother's intuitive feelings spirit intervention which prevented it? And these are questions that are so perplexing, so right. Perplexing. Things like this have happened to me my entire life. I was doing a reading in front of about 100 people, and there was a woman with her teenage daughter, and the grandfather, the woman's father, the young lady's grandfather came through. And all of a sudden I looked at her and I said, "Your grandfather said, you are not to go to the concert. You are not to get into that car. No, no way." And she said, "Well, I'm supposed to go to this concert next weekend with my friends." And the mother's like, "No way you are." A year later, Dave, I'm doing another event in Florida, and this woman and her daughter were there again. I didn't remember them until they said, "Do you remember telling us not to go to the concert?" And I said, "Yeah." And the young lady stood up and said, "I told my friends about that. They were totally freaked out. So mom wouldn't let me go. So I didn't go to the concert." Well, they were on the interstate, and because they were so freaked out, they were only going about 40 miles an hour instead of like 70 or 80, because my friend driving was a lead foot. And all of a sudden, all four tires blew out on the car. All four tires.
Holy cow.
And so they were stranded there. And by the time the highway patrol got there, the highway patrolman said, there are roofing nails all over the highway here. They must have fallen off some truck on the interstate. And so they had to close down the highway and get all the nails off. And the trooper said, if you girls hadn't been going so slow, your car would have flipped and you could have been all killed. So now, did her grandfather's spirit, who could clearly see that, bring through me a message to them which saved their lives? And so, Dave, that's the question. Was it that these girls were not supposed to die, but they were in a potentially dangerous situation and they were not supposed to die, so spirits intervened? It is so perplexing. That's why, first off, I feel very honored to be a medium and to communicate with spirits. But I also tell people, when spirits tell you something, you need to pay attention. If they tell you do not do something, I highly recommend you don't do it.
All right. So that brings me to the point that I brought up a little bit in the last hour. Having these kind of timeout abilities, we're getting messages from loved ones. We're getting messages. If time is not linear, time is happening and folding in on itself constantly.
Right.
Could it be in those moments when you and I are chatting and my vision starts to just kind of go past where we're at and I see off into nothing and I'm just kind of devoid of really being there in the moment? I've often told my family, they're like, oh, dude, did I lose you? And I'm like, I don't know. I was going off on the eternal internet, right? I feel like I was plucking the spider web strings to make sure everybody was okay. But I often wonder if it's in those moments when we kind of fade out of existence right now, if we're not projecting something to a future version of ourselves or a past version of ourselves as a warning. I've talked about time travel therapy that I've worked with people on that takes you through reexamining, looking at things, tragic moments in your life, sending messages back to yourself, how to avoid those moments. And can we, in fact, impact our past by what we know in the future? And that voice we always hear, that nagging, niggling little voice in the back of our head, Mark, that says, don't go Friday. You shouldn't go. We ask, where did it come from? Maybe it came from me surviving that moment and always thinking about it, always focusing on what happened and how tragic it was. Did I send those messages back to myself? And I try to tell people, try that, work through it. I don't know that we could time travel in the way that you see in TV and movies, but if it were going to happen, I believe it becomes self-contained, an awareness within us that allows us to psychically, to telepathically send messages back and forth through the canals of time within ourselves. I know these are big, heady concepts again, and that's why we have Mark Anthony, because he's the guy I like to bring in when I like to have these deep, thoughtful conversations. And remember, he's got three amazing books, as a matter of fact, award-winning books, The Afterlife Frequency. He also has Evidence of Eternity and Never Letting Go. If you are looking for books to give you insight into the next stages of life and death and everything in between, make sure to pick up those books. We'll be back with more Mark Anthony right after this.
Now, during the Halloween season, the veil between the worlds gets thinner and the chills get real. Oh, so very real. Something is waiting in the dark and it's calling your name. So answer the call this Halloween season for the Paranormal 60 Presents Halloween Haunts and Hijinks, October 9th through the 12th, for a supernatural weekend you'll never forget. It's being held at the historic haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Join Dave Schrader from the Holzer Files, Ghosts of Devil's Perch, and the host of the Paranormal 60 podcast. He's teaming up with Dalen Spratt from Ghost Brothers and Phantom Forensics. And we have heart-centered intuitive Diet Renee for a weekend packed with spine-tingling experiences. You'll have two nights of live investigations and paranormal experiments, interactive workshops, gallery readings, and meet and greets. live presentations with experts themselves. This isn't just an event, it's a doorway to the unknown. So you have to ask yourself, do you dare cross it? Now, tickets are limited, so please book your Halloween haunts and hijinks adventure now at darknessevents.com. Again, that is darknessevents.com.
And my prophecy for you, dear listeners, is that if you attend the Halloween hijinks event at the Palmer House Hotel with me and Dalen Spratt and Diet Renee, you're going to have a remarkable time filled with lots of fun and memories. So make sure you check that out at darknessevents.com. Mark Anthony, our guest this evening, as we talk about the mysterious language of prophecy and discuss all of the different intricacies to it. I know I opened up a huge Pandora's box of thoughts and concepts in the last segment, Mark, but I'd love to hear any kind of spin or thoughts that you have on any of that.
Prophecy is part of human history. And like when we opened the show, you were talking about, there came a point when it was shoved into the fringe element and looked at as negative, and it really shouldn't. Because with the advent of quantum physics, and as we're beginning to learn more about the nature of time, because people say time doesn't exist. Well, perhaps it does. It just doesn't exist in the way that we think it does. And Albert Einstein theorized that on the quantum level, you can experience past, present, and future simultaneously. You brought up a very interesting thought, Dave, when you were saying, well, sometimes I'm just sort of drifting off and I feel like I'm here but not here, and I'll start thinking about things in the future. Well, there's actually a physics explanation for that, which is maybe based in the Schwarzschild quantum lattice theory. Carl Schwarzschild was a friend and colleague of Albert Einstein. And he theorized that electrons, which are quantum particles, okay, even though atoms are composed of electrons, protons, and neutrons, an electron is 1/1800th the size of a proton, so an electron is technically a quantum. And he theorized that an electron will disappear from one location and then reappear in a different location without traversing, in other words, without going through the matter in between. Well, this has actually been recreated in a laboratory, and the quantum physicists believe what's happening is that the electrons are going through extremely, extremely tiny wormholes. In other words, they are leaping from one dimension to another and coming back. Now, what does this have to do with you kind of spacing out and thinking this? Well, guess what, Dave? You're made up of electrons. And so a big part of you and me and everybody else, we're always popping back and forth from this dimension to another one. So those times that you don't feel like you're all there, well, it's because you're not, okay? And this is not a joke. This is not just some random guess. This is physics. And I love what Nikola Tesla said about physics. He said, what one person calls God, another calls the laws of physics. And if you look at the way people of faith say that we're all interconnected, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all related, God always existed, always will, and always has. And the second law of thermodynamics, energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. So what I find to be fascinating is that this day and age, what people of faith have been saying for thousands of years, and what scientists and quantum physicists in particular have been saying in the last century, they're saying essentially the same thing using different terminology. So when all of us get these deja vu feelings or a prophetic dream or something comes to you that foreshadows a future event, this isn't voodoo or magic. What's happening is you're aligning with the electromagnetic interconnectedness, and your electromagnetic soul, your consciousness, is perceiving an event which we believe exists in what we call the future.
So in layman's terms, Mark, If there's a large pond or lake, right? The waves that are slowly lapping up against the borders of this lake, right?
Right.
All of the shoreline. Those are just small little ripples that we're not going to notice. But if I were to launch a huge boulder out in the middle of that lake and it splashes down, it's going to send those torrential waves towards the border, towards the shoreline. So do you think that that's why when we have moments where we see the Sandy Hook shooting, the tragedy that took place on 9/11, we see some of these horrible things. It's not so much because we were gifted that moment, but it was because, like in Star Wars, let's get real nerdy, right? When they use the Death Star to wipe out Alderaan. And
yes,
it's Obi-Wan Kenobi stops and he goes, I just sensed 1,000 or 1,000,000 voices screaming out in pain. Right. Is it that you're not picked to have this prophecy, but it was so impactful and the waves were so crushing to so many people in the future that those waves are coming back in time and hitting us now? That's what's giving us these premonitions.
100%, Dave. And that's because what we consider to be negative events are a denser, heavier vibration, easier for us to detect. Happy things, good events are a higher vibration, and it requires more sensitive acuity to detect those. So that's why we tend to get the premonitions of negative events seem to be more prevalent. It's not that they're more prevalent. It's just that we're more able to pick up on those. It's not nerdy to bring up Star Wars, because when George Lucas was 16 years old, he was killed in a car accident, brought to a hospital, was DOA. Doctors worked on him nonetheless for half an hour, got his heartbeat back. He came out of the experience talking about he went into a transcendent realm and said there is a force which interconnects all of us. Within 3 years, this teenager had a draft for Star Wars. He had a near-death experience, and every near-death experiencer comes out of the experience realizing we're all energetically interconnected. Why? Because my electromagnetic soul theory, his EMS left his body temporarily attuned with the huge quantum field that connects everything, and he came back with an idea for Star Wars, which is the Force. And everyone, may the Force be with you.
And ever with you, Mark Anthony. We have to take a break. We will come back. We've got more to discuss. And I don't know if you know this, but there is a very famous president in our history who had a very overwhelming premonition, and it came to pass. We'll discuss that when we return right here to the Paranormal 360. Imagine this. You're the president of the United States. The world is in a tumultuous place. Not so hard to imagine, I guess, because that's the world we live in right now. But this story takes place several years back. Abraham Lincoln, you might be familiar with that guy, very well-known, beloved president of the United States, had a dream that he walked into the White House, I think at the Rotunda, and he saw somebody lying in state, and he turned to one of the Secret Service agents, and he asked, well, who died? And the Secret Service agent looked at him and said, well, it's you, sir. And this happened prior to his assassination. This wasn't a near-death experience where he came back briefly and acknowledged it and then went back into death. This was something that he had a premonition. This was a prophecy given to him. And talk about frustration, Mark, to get that message and not sure what to do or how to avoid the outcome of that eventuality has got to be kind of soul-crushing in a way. So Lincoln, of course, as we know, did attend a play at the Ford Theater and was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. He also hung in for a few days. A lot of people think he was killed and died on the spot. He actually, I believe, survived for 2 or 3 days after the gunshot wound and succumbed to his wounds. I believe it was like across the street in a place.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I've been there. So I was at Ford's Theater, and then is the house right across the street. I was surprised how close it was and how small the house. I mean, I was standing on the spot where he died, and it was like, whoa. So, yeah, it's amazing.
So that dream prophecy very well could have been the moment that Abraham Lincoln lay there in this comatose state. bridging that gap between living and dead, dancing that macabre dance, and could be what led back to his dream moment, couldn't it? Couldn't that be the spark that allowed him to see what his future held without giving him any more detail or information?
Abraham Lincoln's a very complex character, and it's, and I love when you said, well, what happened in that dream wasn't a near-death experience, but when we go to when he was 15 years old, he fell off a horse, and he was presumed dead for almost 8 hours, and all of a sudden he started breathing again. And after that time, he started exhibiting precognitive ability, seeing future events. He started talking about no earthly power, a divine interposition. His belief chain, his system changed radically. And the day he was getting ready to leave for Washington, he was in Illinois. He was born in Kentucky, but he was in Illinois. He looked in a mirror and he had a premonition that he would be elected twice, but not survive his second term. Mm-hmm. So Lincoln was very psychic, and a lot of people were afraid of him, and his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. And I know there's some type of Broadway play where they're making fun of her. And I don't really appreciate that, because Mary Todd Lincoln lost three sons. Three of her sons died in her arms, and she watched her husband get shot in the head at point blank range. Okay. That's not funny.
No,
that's horrifying. No parent, no woman, no person should ever go through something like that. And she was very heavily involved with mediumship, and actually brought mediums, Nettie Maynard Colburn, one of the most high profile mediums in the country, to the White House. Lincoln was very well aware and actually attended two of the spirit communication sessions there. So it's theorized, because of his near-death experience, Lincoln's psychic abilities were enhanced, and that he knew that he had to be president, and he knew he was not going to survive his second term. Now, to me, the fact that he only had one guard in the theater, that has never made sense to me. Okay. I mean, he should have had about, I don't know, 100 guys there, at least 10 in the hallway, another 90 surrounding the place, but that's not the way it was. But let me tell you something else is the surviving son, Robert Todd Lincoln, was at the train station in Washington, D.C. This was just after the Lincolns entered the White House. And there was a crowd of people there, and somebody, the crowd bumped into him, and he started to fall towards the railroad tracks right in front of the train, and somebody grabbed him and pulled him out of the way. It was John Wilkes Booth's brother. Edmund, saved Robert Todd Lincoln. And so isn't that fascinating? And of course, that's what I love about being on your show, Dave, because where else can we talk about this? Within one family, there was such light and such dark. There was the light. Edmund Booth saved the only son of the Lincolns to grow to manhood. And his brother was the evil, the dark one, who murdered, I believe, our greatest president. So it shows that human beings aren't just good or bad, but there's light and dark within everyone. And I know, Dave, you know, you're Darkness Dave and all that, but you're one of the nicest and best guys I know, and you do so much compassionate and outreach work for people. And in the darkness that you explore is investigation of paranormal phenomenon. And that's what's so important, to bring this phenomenon out of the darkness into the light so that people can understand it. These things aren't negative. This is part of human history. This is part of human nature. And instead of fearing it, we must examine it, document it, and do our best to interpret it.
How about this, too, as one more weird example of the Lincoln family? his surviving son was also witness to, I think, a total of 3 or 4 presidential assassinations.
Yes, yes. He, his father's, he was invited to go to Ford's Theater that night. Then he turned it down. Then in 1880, it was President Garfield who wanted to meet with him because Garfield was having recurring dreams of being assassinated. And when Robert Todd Lincoln showed up at the 6th Street train station in Washington, D.C., and Garfield went to meet him, he saw Garfield assassinated. And then 20 years later, Robert Todd Lincoln was invited to a fair in Upper State New York where William McKinley, President McKinley, was. And as he arrived, he saw William McKinley assassinated. He's the only person known to have been directly connected to 3 presidential assassinations. When he died in 1926, he was on the cover of Time magazine, and his most endearing quote was, "There's a certain fatality to the presidential function when I am present."
Man, could you imagine carrying that burden on your shoulder to be a witness to history 4 tragic times, to be the son that was saved from his own death by the brother of his father's murderer? It is, yeah. Life is so weird. The interconnectedness, the high frequency of strangeness. I guess that's what keeps us excited about this field, right, Mark, is that there's always something evolving and a story to examine. And I'm often left thinking as well with the premonition that Lincoln had. Was he necessarily talking about this one lifetime? Because there's a lot of talk that he was reincarnated into the life of John F. Kennedy, who did not complete his term in office, right? Weird stuff. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. Mark Anthony, our guest. There's a link for Mark and all of his work on today's program guide.
A vampire in Rhode Island?
A UFO crash in Connecticut?
A flying moose in Maine?
A haunted bridge that calls your name?
New England is weird.
Really weird.
Wicked Strange by Jeff Belanger and Frank Grace is your ticket to the bizarre. Ghosts, monsters, urban legends, and roadside oddities you won't believe until you see them.
So pre-order now on Amazon. It drops September 2nd.
Assuming the Black Dog of West Peak doesn't get you first.
Let's get strange.
Wicked Strange. Pre-order your copy now on Amazon.
Mark Anthony is our guest this evening. He is an award-winning author and presenter. His books, The Afterlife Frequency, The Scientific Proof of Spiritual Contact, and How That Awareness Will Change Your Life. He also penned the book Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits for Proof of the Afterlife, and Never Letting Go, Heal Grief with Help from the Other Side. All 3 books have been nominated and won awards. He is highly regarded in the field as one of the best evidential mediums in the world, and he's always a pleasure to chat with on the show. One segment left together. As we continue to try to decode the mysterious language of prophecy, where do you want to go in this last segment together?
That's a good question, Dave. You know, when I love working with you because there's never any limits to where we can go with this. I would like to share another story. I was doing a reading for this woman, and her mother came through, her mother's spirit came through, and her mother started talking about a 7-year-old boy who was having problems with his eyes. And my client said, "Well, I'm fine, and I don't have any children, but my nephew is 7. And that's my sister's son. We're very close. And he's been complaining about headaches recently." And I said, "Well, your mother said, get him to the eye doctor right away." And now she's giving me a song. I'm hearing "Tutti Frutti All Rudy" by Little Richard. And I'm singing "Tutti Frutti All Rudy." And she's looking at me like, you know, okay. She goes, "Yeah, I know the song, but I'm not really a fan of Little Richard. So it doesn't make any sense." So, Dave, 2 weeks later, I get an email from her, and she said that she talked to her sister. Her sister said, "Yeah, my son says now he can't really see the chalkboard at work. I mean, at work, at school, because it's blurry. So she made an appointment to take him to the eye doctor, and my client went. So the mother of the little boy and my client, his aunt, and she said the second they walked into the eye doctor's office, all of a sudden on the radio, it started playing Tutti Frutti, Aw Rudy by Little Richard. And she goes, I thought that was, you would enjoy that. And it made me realize that, once again, the electromagnetic soul theory. Our soul is pure electromagnetic energy, but there's a lot of different types of energy within the electromagnetic spectrum. X-rays, gamma rays, microwaves, ultraviolet, and radio waves. So what the Mother Spirit did was spirits or energy. She didn't want her grandson having problems. She wanted him to get glasses, scanned him, knew that he had problems with the eyes, gave the message through me, a prophetic message that you got to get into the eye doctor. This is spirit intervention. And to make sure that they knew they were in the right place at the right time, another form of electromagnetic energy, which is radio waves. I mean, come on. The very second they walk into the office, Tutti Frutti, Aw Rudy by Little Richard plays. What are the odds of that, Dave? I think we're past a billion to one there.
Easily. I would agree. Yeah, that's crazy. And it gives such concrete evidence that you were bridging two times at the same time as well, because you were able to see her in the now and also in the moment that that song would be playing and what it would mean to them. So it's pretty fascinating, right? The whole concept. You live and work in the field of prophecy, really. Although you deal with a lot of the conversations with the spirits that have crossed, you're also seeing and understanding things that are yet to come. Is it ever hard for you to differentiate between what has happened, what is going to happen, or what could have happened?
I always tell people, I'll convey the message, but we have to be very careful about jumping to conclusions. You know, I mean, we went through a number of examples of people throughout history who received something and then acted on it. You know, they may be trying to warn you. For example, I tell people that the spirit brings up a medical condition that you're dealing with, that's how they're letting you know they're around and aware of what's happening. If they bring up a treatment, that doesn't mean start doing the treatment. Perhaps they're trying to tell you, this is not the right treatment. There's a better treatment. So especially with medical information, always clear it with your doctor first. But I always recommend err on the side of caution. One of the funniest things, I was doing a reading for these two parents and their son, and their other son had passed. I mean, there's obviously nothing funny about that. And his spirit came through, and all of a sudden he focused on his brother, and he said, don't go hang gliding. Don't go hang gliding. And this young guy, he's like 18. He goes, I'm supposed to go to the Florida Keys next week with my friends, and we're going hang gliding. And his mother turns and looks at him and then looks at me and says, like hell he's going.
Yeah, you couldn't be more direct with that message, could you?
Yeah, that one was bada boom. Don't go hang gliding. And funny, the kid says, oh, no way I'm going now. And he was really nice. They were a really, really nice family. But the thing is, spirits will bring up future events. And at the time they bring it up, we don't always know what it means until it happens. So what I would say is be open-minded, have faith, realize that prophecy, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 12, prophecy is one of the gifts from God.
It is a gift. You are a gift from God. Mark, thank you for all that you do, because I know that you don't just contain this logic to those that can afford it. You're doing interviews like this. You're constantly making yourself available. So you do put the books out that go more depth, more in detail regarding the work that you do. You do live presentations on TV, live presentations at events, but doing shows like this, keeping yourself grounded and connected so that the rest of us can have that experience and get some inclusion. I really appreciate the work you do, Mark, and you're always a gem to work with. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Dave. And for everybody, keep tuning in, because Dave, he's the best.
Thank you, my friend. And thank you all for being a part of my world, for allowing me into your homes, into your cars, and into your ears as we share strange and unusual thoughts together. Prophecy has always carried the same burden. It's not just about hearing the message, but understanding it in time to matter. Tonight, Mark Anthony reminded us that the language of spirit may be mysterious, but it's not unknowable. May the darkness of this world be just a little lighter with the information we share here each week on the Paranormal 360.